raise our daughter and not, you know, rely on daycare too much and, do what a good parent does. At least I hope so. But on the other side of it, I really enjoy four on and four off. There's, you know, it's pretty hard to argue 4 days off in a row.
Yeah, there's no doubt 4 days off in a row is definitely nice. I kind of have a really nice schedule, so I do a 4-10, and so it's every 3 days or every weekend you get a 3-day weekend unless there's stuff that pops up, but I really like that. And then we also do a rotating, what we call is a mini shift, and so on the mini shift you end up getting 5 days off, and so instead of working Monday and Tuesday, you end up working Wednesday through Saturday, and then you take Sunday off and you come back on your regular shift. So you do that, once a quarter, and so you get, quite a few, maybe up to 5 or 6 5-day weekends a year, so that's pretty sweet, too. So that's a good deal. 3-day weekends and 5-day weekends every once in a while is a pretty good deal.
Yeah. Also, with shift work, it also depends on how old you are, too. I found, I'll be 64 this year, and to work the longer shifts in order to work a 4-4. That's not in my vernacular anymore, but, when I was in my 20s and 30s or even 40s, working a 12-hour shift, yeah, you can do that with your eyes closed.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's definitely easier at younger ages. I mean, I'm doing okay, and, I'm 50-something, so it's kind of one of those things where I don't sleep as good at nighttime and bounce back in the morning as easy, but, on my normal day shift, everything's just fine. But, yeah, so, there's a little bit of challenge with that, but it's all good. We're making it through. I think we've got maybe 3 more weeks left of that schedule, so then we're back on to the normal cycle of things for the summer.
Yeah, again, if it works for the household, if it works for the family, then it works. Yeah, myself, I... 2020, I retired from my original career and bounced around a little bit during the shutdown and COVID and all that. And now I've landed in a consulting role where I kind of work my own schedule, and there is no looking back from that.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, Mark, what's your consulting business you do?
Well, I worked for Air Canada for 33 years, and my plan was to do 35, but COVID got in the way of that, and the package came along, and I couldn't say no. The numbers just were spectacular. So I took the package and left Air Canada, and the bouncing around was in that industry, and now I am a safety consultant for airport and station operations.
Not bad. That's really good. And that's nice to have kind of a keep-you-busy kind of consulting-slash-part-time job to pass some time and keep a little extra income coming in. So that's fantastic. Good for you.
Yeah, it's the kind of industry where, if you earn yourself a decent reputation and, have the right move through your career, when you get into the later stages, you can command a pretty decent dollar for what you know. And, that seems to be where I've landed. Name's well known, reputation's good, and people knock on my door. So I'm happy. But in the consulting part of it, if I need a week off or I need some time away or whatever, not available.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's the best part about it is you can make your own schedule, do your own kind of keyed up time. And so, yeah, that's great. That's the good part about being kind of a private contractor / consultant. So nice job. That's good. That's very cool. Hopefully we'll see. I mean, I have no shortage of things to keep me busy, but hopefully when it comes time to hit the big retirement button, then I don't have to go back to work. In my trade, we've got a lot of guys that come back for outages and stuff like that, and they work 3 or 4 months out of the year, and you know, pat the pocket and then take the rest of the year off. But when I retire, I want to retire, and I don't want to have to worry about kind of coming back and doing the daily grind again.
I was of that mindset until I left early. And, you know, I like to keep my finger in there, finger on the pulse, as it were. But, you know, 2 years, I just signed a fresh contract and for 2 years, and that'll take me just past 65, and that'll be that. My wife and I have a plan. We'll sell here out of the Lower Mainland, go into the interior. I tried to talk her into Montana, but she wouldn't do that. But I'm not done with that yet. But, you know, go somewhere into a smaller town in the interior somewhere and buy a nice piece of land outright and do whatever the hell I want to do.
Yeah, that'd be really cool to, you know, get out of town. And I think I'm kind of got roots down here for now, so we'll see how everything goes in the future. But for the time being, I plan on sticking around. We got a nice little chunk of land and a little farm and all that stuff. So we do good for here, and we like to kind of keep it a little quiet, you know. I suppose that's kind of what it'd be like to go to Montana for you from where you guys are at there. So a little slowdown maybe, depending on what kind of what part of Montana you wanted to get to.
Well, we'll be close. You know, I think the wife is talking about, I don't know if you know BC very well, but she's talking about the Cranbrook Fernie area, which is where she's from. I love that area. It's fantastic. And that's pretty close to Montana. Just a few miles south and you're there. I just spent a lot of time there in my youth, and I have citizenship on both sides of the border, so, you know, that line is imaginary for me, so we can go anywhere we want.
Yep, that's awesome. I got lots of good friends have that same situation going on, and they do utilize it quite well, and so we appreciate it down here. We get to see them quite often, and you know, it's nice to have that option as well in case you know, you just want to change it up for a little bit, or you got friends and family somewhere else, or a vacation home like you're talking about. So, yeah, nice plan.
Yeah, the one drawback, I can't give my daughter citizenship in the States, but if we were to live there for a couple, if she lived there for a couple of years, then she can get it. Like, I can get her resident alien status in a heartbeat, you know, and she still talks about going to college, so I was point south at. But, you know, it's nice to have that ability, that freedom. And especially in today's era, you know, you want to be able to do whatever you need to do as far as the way the world seems to be changing a little bit.
Yeah, nope, that's for sure. You got to have some options and a fallback for sure, especially when you got kids in the mix too. So it's good to think about all the options. It's kind of hard to have that forethought sometimes too. It's like, you know, where you want to go and what you end up doing. You know, it does directly affect the family, especially if they can't follow suit 100% the same way. So yeah, no, that's good.
So are you coming on the VHS side of this repeater or the UHF side?
Well, I think right now I'm on the VHF side of it, to be honest with you.
Okay, I'm just going to spin over there. I want to see if I can pick you up on the input. All right, I'm on the VHF side myself as well. I was on the UHF previously.
Oh, yeah, how's that coming in for you now? You still got a great signal on the VHF side.
I just checked you on the input. I can hear you at 9S units, so you're putting out well.
Oh, that's awesome. No, you got full quieting, great coming off the repeater for sure. I don't mess around with this radio too much. It's actually a mobile unit. It's a Yaesu FT7800. And I've got a small tower out here and a decent 2-meter antenna, but I got a bigger one that's going to be going up on the tower here pretty soon. Check that. The antenna that I'm using right now is actually about 6 feet off the ground. It's a 15-foot, what is that thing? It's a tram, and it's a decent antenna. It does both VHF, UHF, and so anyways, but yeah, that's going to go up on the tower here real soon, and my my propagation should be a lot better, or my transmit power should be a lot better, so.
Well, it's respectable right now, no question about it. I'm running a tri-bander. It's an old Kenwood, and I've got the VHF, I got the 220, and the 70 centimeters on it. And so I'm going into a tri-band antenna, the Comet CX333. And it is, let's see, that would be about 25 feet to the base of the antenna to the ground.
No, well, that's working for you for sure. Is it just on like a pole, or you got it on the top of your house, or how does that work?
Yeah, it's a 15-foot mast clamped to the eaves of the house, and probably about at most a 40-foot run of coax into the shack. So it's doing a job. I would love to put up a tower, because I wouldn't mind getting myself a beam going for HF. And then if I did that, I'd put this antenna above that and really get it up there. But, you know, where I'm located, it seems to be a bit of a magic spot for radio. I have an NFED half-wave, and it is performing really well. I'm very surprised at that, but I still wouldn't mind a beam.
Yep, copy that. I put up a tower at my place maybe 2 or 3 years ago, maybe now. But it's a 40-foot telescoping tilt-up tower. So I do all my work on my antennas basically on the ground. I install them on the ground, and then I crank it up, and it's a 20-foot two-piece collapsible, so, you know, you get about 40 feet by the time you poke it all the way up, but it works out really nice. It's an all-steel structure. It's a custom homemade jobby. Put the concrete foundation in and got that thing stood up, but it took me a little while to get everything situated and get it dialed, and, you know, you lose motivation, you gain motivation, and so it takes a little bit of time when it's a side project, but I'm really glad I got it up there now. I've got three antennas up there. I've got a homebrew HF Yagi 3-element that I made, and then I've got my low, and that's for the upper HF. And then for the lower end, I've got, that 180 up. Then I've got an off-center fed inverted V dipole that I also built. And that'll handle full legal limit. And so it's a pretty powerful antenna. That thing works fantastic. It's all around the world. And then, like you said, this gear setup, I've got my 2-meter beam or a 2-meter antenna right up above my HF beam. So it all works pretty good. I don't notice any interference from one frequency to the next as far as the two antennas go, so it seems to be working out okay.
Yeah, back in days gone by, I had back in the CB era, I had a 50-foot tower, and I don't know if you remember any of this stuff, but I had a Moonraker Mark IV on a 50-foot tower, and I wasn't running a boot or anything like that, and I got some pretty decent coverage. But now with ham, I've been a ham radio operator licensed since 1990, but I've been on and off the hobby, playing with wire and stuff like that. That's a bit of fun because, you know, it's not that complicated. But what I'm finding is I just need a little more thump. Yeah, I could run a boot, but I think the answer is in the antenna.
Yeah, you can have a really powerful station and a horrible antenna, and the station's not going to do you any good, and you can have the vice versa, and you can really get out and do really good with it. So, I mean, ideally, we try to put as much thought into our system as possible, and, you know, for my HF, I've got a huge Antron or Ameritron AL80B that goes to my Icon radio, but I hardly ever run it. I find that the 100 watts does really good with my two antenna options. And so I find that I'm in a good spot with it. Every once in a while, if I'm trying to get out somewhere, and then I'll hook the